Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs chapter number 23. Once you arrive at Proverbs 23, would you please stand with me? We're going to find Proverbs chapter 23, starting with verse number 1. And as you're looking and standing, I'll say you won't, I don't think anybody will use every point of what I say today. I wish we would, but I'm sure everybody here can use some of it. And I want to help us with our thinking. Proverbs chapter 23, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says this: "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Without set thine eyes upon that which is not, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as eagles toward the heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Look back at me. What a powerful statement. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I think the Bible teaches us how we think and what we think is very important. You see, you and I, we see each other from the outside, and we can't even see from the outside in. We can just see the outside. But God sees us from the inside out. And I think what we do with our minds is an issue with God. This sermon probably is not going to take the course that you think. Let me pray, and then I'm going to talk to you about be a thinker. Father, bless us now. Somehow, Lord, grab the lazy mind today. And might we on purpose learn to develop our minds and our thinking. We need Christians in this life to train their minds to succeed for the cause of Jesus Christ, for the cause of their families, for the cause of the local New Testament church. But we tend to be a part of a lazy society. We don't want to think. May we be thinkers, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. A preacher told me one day, not a long, long time ago, he said, "You know, Brother Owens, my mind is hungry." He said, I want my mind to be more successful than what it truly is. He said, "I'm going to ask you a silly question." He said, "Could you take a couple minutes and tell me how you think?" He didn't ask me to tell him what I thought. He said, "Tell me how you think." And that was such a rare question, it caught me off guard. And for about 15 minutes, I began to ramble. And I began to tell him how I think, not what I thought. I listened to his question. It was, "How do you think?" And I told him, I said, "Well, I do a lot of organizational thinking." I said, "Then I sometimes I'll get a team of people to help me to think." I said, "I also try to be very sound and dependable. So I let thoughts simmer in my mind like a stew in a crock pot because I want it to be thorough." I said, "I always try to keep an element of faith in all my thinking. But I like to hit the bullseye with my decisions." I told him, I said, "I always want to keep others in mind while I think, and I am cause-oriented in my thinking." I said, "I try to be creative in my thinking." And after about 15 minutes, he said, "Could you say that again, please?" I said, I don't know if I could, but this is what he did. When I was talking to him about the way I think, he had a little piece of paper out and he wrote down some key words. They were just single key words. He had written down the word organizational, team, sound, crockpot, others, bullseye, cause, and creative. And he said, "Could you repeat that?" And I said, "No, I don't think I could." He handed me that piece of paper. He said, "In essence, that's what you just said." He said, "And that's what I want." He said, "As you're describing the way you think, I said to myself, I am a lazy thinker. I do not think like that." I thought of Proverbs 23:7. It says, "For as he thinketh in his heart." The Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And what we think is important. what you think is basically what you are becoming. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Somehow, I almost think that the Apostle Paul, when he was writing that, probably had a young preacher say, Paul, how do you think? And Paul said, these are the things I think on. And he gave a quick list. I'm sure Paul looked back and said, wow, did I give that list? But there was a list there. You know, the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is how they think. All successful people basically think the same way. They don't think about the same things, but they think the same way. In all organization, there need to be a place for good thinkers. And I think especially in the church. Why? Well, this is God's house. I think if we're going to put effort into anything in regard to thorough and complete thinking, it ought to be our service to God. You can learn to think the way good thinkers think. You can even change your thinking. By the way, the key to changing your life is changing your thinking. You've got to learn to think the way God thinks. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know what God's saying? Think right. Think right. We're to think God's way. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 2 says this, feed the flock. This is a command to me as a pastor or any leader. It says, feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You know what? I'm to have a ready mind. You say, what is that? I am to have an eager mind for helping people to succeed. I'm to have an eager mind in teaching. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you have an spiritually eager mind? 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. Why? Because I thought as a child. And then it says, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Adult men that act like kids think like kids. Adult women that act like kids think like kids. But God said, when I became a man, I put away childish thinking. I'm going to enjoy the next couple of minutes. You may be bored stiff. Now, I'm going to talk to you about how I think. Man handed me a piece of paper. He said, this is what you just told me. I was surprised. I said, I said that? Wow. I wonder where that came from. But I'm going to tell you what was on that piece of paper. Thinking. Organizational thinking is a part of the way I try to think. Psalm 119, verse number 59 says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto my testimonies. Organizational thinking. It said, I thought on my ways. What's that mean? I thought about where I'm going. I thought about how I'm going to get there. Where my ways are taking me. Organizational thinking makes the hard tasks much easier. Organizational thinking breaks one big task down into many smaller, more manageable tasks. Organizational thinking is you questioning yourself on how you will reach your goal and when you will reach your goal. Organizational thinking is like building a bridge from where you are to where you're going. Any successful person has learned to break the difficult down into the simple so you can even follow your own plan. It has been said that the one with the plan is the one with the power. You have a business, you better learn organizational thinking. You have a ministry, you better learn organizational thinking. If you're a mother with a batch of kids, you better learn organizational thinking. You say, why? Or you'll be taking that lunch box into school every day that was forgotten because you must think for you and think for a less or weaker mind. Organizational thinking. I got to move on. When I was explaining to him, I said, I spend a ton of time just what I call organizational thinking. You say, well, Brother Owens, where'd you learn that? God. Everything is in order with God. That's how he thinks. Then, team thinking. I mentioned team thinking. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples." Huh. Jesus went out to pray, and after he prayed for a little while, he called a team in. He said, "I'm going to get some help." I do a lot of team thinking. I call it brainstorming, if you will. I am not convinced my brain's got what it takes to get the job done. You say, what do? I borrow brains. A few of you, someone evidently borrowed yours. The problem is they didn't give it back. But I borrow brains. I get help. You've heard the old saying, two minds are better than one. Well, guess what? If I can borrow God's, and then if I can borrow something from you, I've got three minds going. I use my staff and my leaders around here to help develop thoughts on most projects. For a leader to practice team thinking, you're going to have to. Let me tell you this: if you're a leader in a business or wherever, if you're going to practice team thinking, you've got to have some security about yourself. You can't be scared to death of the people from which you borrow brains and that you get counsel. There's a certain confidence that's necessary. But I use a team of people in my thinking. I borrow brains when we do our missions conference. I borrow brains when we do our youth conference. I borrow brains when we're working on our church finances. I borrow brains when we're setting up our spring program, when we're setting up our fall program, when we're setting up anything around the church. I borrow brains. Why? I don't have enough to do it on my own. I believe in team thinking. There are times that, hey, God didn't say that any one of us was self-made or capable within ourselves. Matter of fact, I borrow brains. Mrs. Owens and I, we brainstorm about different things. We have a family vacation every year. I'll promise you, you ask my kids about the family vacation, they'll say, it is just fantastic. But she and I get together and we develop ideas to make that a memory. In team thinking, we're not competing. We're cooperating. If you want to be successful in your endeavors in life, what do? Well, you got to get the organizational thinking. I'll promise you, you will build nothing beyond your ability to organize. And if you can't organize, you'll have to hire someone to do it for you, because anything that's not organized will fall apart sooner or later. But not only team thinking, there is this thing of team thinking, utilizing the people around you. Thirdly, I mentioned when I was talking to this guy, I said, I want my decisions, I want my thinking to be sound. When I'm talking about sound, I'm talking about solid, credible. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I need my mind to be sound. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:21, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Sound thinking has a lot to do with being a realist. A realist. Sound thinkers are credible people. Sound thinkers appreciate the plain, simple truth. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, it says, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" In other words, that verse says to me, thought does not change the truth. The truth is the truth. What color it is does not matter. The truth is the truth. How the temperature is has nothing to do with the truth. The truth is the truth. Sound thinking reduces most surprises in life. Sound thinking concentrates on possible consequences and results. Sound thinkers hope for the best but plan for the worst. They've got a plan no matter which way this thing goes. Sound thinking takes risks, but they're calculated risks with a backup plan in case it doesn't work out. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." What established means grounded, anchored. So, in this conversation with this man, he said, "I am hungry. Tell me how you think." Now notice, remember, he didn't ask me to tell him what I think. He asked me to tell him how I think. And when I approach anything I'm thinking about, I want it to be credible. I want it to be true. I want it to be solid. I want us to be able to go to the bank on it. So then, in this conversation, I used a term. I said, I do a thing called crop pot crockpot thinking. Now, if you don't understand crockpot stew, you need to get with it here in life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." The thoughts that I think, meaning someone was thinking, but they kept thinking. This thinking was a continual thinking. I referred to it what I call crockpot thinking. The crockpot slowly cooks the food. The crockpot brings out all the richness of the food. It just mingles all the separate entities together until you get just a wonderful outcome. Am I making you hungry? Crockpot thinking lets your plan and your ideas simmer slowly and mature in their own juices. Crockpot thinking clarifies your ideas. Crockpot thinking creates confidence in your plan. I think crockpot thinking matures an idea in your mind. Crockpot thinking includes a lot of patience. Do you know, people love our youth conference. It's a success. It's fun. If you see all the moving parts, you say, how in the world? Every little thing given away, every song, everything done, every decoration, everything fits together. It's just a master plan. How do you do that? We start planning youth conference 1 week after it concludes, and we plan it for 51 weeks in a row. Say, what do? I got a crew of men. We get a crock pot. We throw ideas in it, and they simmer all year long. And they simmer. Man said to me, he said, "Brother Owens, how long did it take you to prepare that sermon?" I said, "It took me 35 years to prepare that sermon. I've been thinking about that truth since I was an 18-year-old preacher boy. I've thought about it, and I've thought about it, and I cooked it, and I cooked it, and I cooked it, and I stirred it. And then one day God said, it's time to pull the ingredients out of the crock pot, put it on paper, give it to somebody. You're not going to prepare a good sermon in a matter of a few minutes, nor are you going to prepare a good Sunday school lesson by studying your lesson 30 minutes before class on Sunday morning. If that's the only studying you did, you might as well give them a bologna sandwich." But that crock pot, it stirs it. Crockpot thinking is like letting a tomato ripen in the windowsill before you use it. Some people don't have the patience for it. Crockpot thinking brings out the purity in ideas. I got to go on. I told him, I said, I make sure I put an element of faith in my thinking. Never want to lose that because I was told a long time ago in the scripture that that which is not of faith is sin. I don't want sinful thinking, so I've got to keep faith in my thinking. Mark chapter 10, verse number 27, it says, "And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." There must be faith there. Faith is reaching for what is possible. Sometimes I think we think too small. I think we think too safely. Faith thinking could be called risk thinking to some degree. Let me say to every businessman in here, if you're listening to me, I can show you how to think to succeed in business. I promise you, you go ahead and you study the giants, the multimillionaires and billionaires, and I will promise you, they won't word it the way I'm wording it. But if they're succeeding, this is how they think. This is how they think. I think sometimes we think too safely. There's a little risk that's necessary in faith thinking. You say, but just a minute ago, you talked about being sound. Oh, it's a blend. You must think realistically, soundly, and credibly. But if there is not an element of faith where you launch out and you reach for something that you don't have. Look, nobody's finished. No church is finished. No project is finished. No family is finished. No business is finished. Somebody's got to believe there's a new horizon and there's something out there for us. If you're still alive, God has something big in your tomorrow. But you're so busy thinking about your yesterday or whining about your today, you don't see what God could do tomorrow because you are paralyzed in your thinking. I never want to be paralyzed in my thinking. If you only knew the plans that I have for our church. You say, now be sensible, preacher. I am. But I wish you could just, I wish I could take the lid off the crock pot for a little while and you say, oh my goodness. We'll put the lid back. Faith thinking. about problems, some say faith thinkers make molehills into mountains. You ever heard someone say you're making a mountain into a molehill? Faith thinkers take something little and think it into greatness. Believe and achieve, or doubt and pout someday. Faith thinking is optimistic thinking. Faith thinkers must look at the positives far more than the negatives. Give yourself permission to take a chance. Stop yourself from being so negative in your own mind. Dream big. By faith, your dream needs to be put on steroids, and you need to stop dreaming of extra, extra small and supersize that baby. Stop enjoying peace and create some instability in your life. Most people are hiding, and they do not want to take the chance of causing turmoil to be a success. If you're going to be a success, you're going to create turmoil. Starting a Christian school is not easy. I'm going to guess it's created some turmoil in your life, but thank God you started it. You could have sat back and just watched, but he jumped in and participated. You start a bus route? It's going to be uncomfortable. That's why some of you are never going to do anything. You're so worried about being comfortable. So worried about being comfortable. There are people in here, you could be multimillionaires, but you're so worried about being comfortable. You're scared. And you don't use your mind. You're lazy. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else do the thinking. We've got to move on. I would just recommend this. Study great achievers. They'll tell you how they think. They'll tell you how they think. They were people who dared. Number six. I call it bullseye thinking. I don't know why. Just when I was having this conversation with this man, this pastor, I said, I want to hit the bullseye. And that's what I said. So it's in my outline. Psalm 39:3 says, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. This is David. The word musing there means concentrating or thinking. Now, this is the problem in our day and age. The word muse is not a common word, but it means thinking. The opposite of muse is a muse. That's where you get the term video game. No, that's where you get the term amusement. What's it mean? Not thinking. We live in an amusement-oriented world. What do we need? Amusement. Think. God gave you a brain. You need some time to study and find out how much of the human brain they think is actually developed. Not much of it. David here, he said, my heart was set on fire. He had something he was shooting at. Hey, bullseye thinking. This is a thing. Listen to this word. You may need to look it up in the dictionary. This means concentrate. Concentrate. Do you know how pathetic people's concentration is today? It's sad. That's why you can't pray. That's why you don't read your Bible. You can't concentrate. People can't. They can't zero in on something and keep their mind attached to it. Most people don't truly concentrate. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for someone that can concentrate for them. I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings. I spend my life reminding people over and over and over and over and over of what they've already been told. Why? They don't want to concentrate. They're lazy. They have lazy minds. You want to succeed? Learn to concentrate. A good pitcher in baseball knows how to picture the bullseye in that catcher's mitt. Bullseye thinking keeps the main thing the main thing. Bullseye thinking is focused thinking. Bullseye thinking is the ability to focus to the point that for a time nothing else exists but that project. I like to shoot my bow. Compound bow. A good bow hunter practices bullseye concentration. Some people are general thinkers, meaning general rather than specific. General thinkers are not usually great achievers. They end up helping someone else claim their fame. Bullseye thinking removes distractions. Bullseye thinking removes mental clutter so you can concentrate and contribute to the success of the issue. Bullseye thinking harnesses and targets your mental power. Jeremiah 29:11, he said, "For I know the thoughts that I think." In Luke chapter 12, verse 17, he said, "And he thought within himself." You know, sometimes, folks, you just need to say, you know what, I am going to lock into this thing. I'm going to concentrate on it, and I'm going to get done what needs to be done. But we are so mentally pulled apart today. Most people's reflex is like this today. You give more attention to your device than you do concentrating on the issues at hand. I could help some of you to succeed and turn your situation around if we could take your cell phone away from you and you had to concentrate and think for yourself for a little while. But you didn't play so much time with sporadic, unconnected, unfocused, energized thinking. I'm a pretty dumb person when it come right down to it. But when you're dumb, you got to concentrate to get the job done. There's some of you say, "I'm not real intelligent." You don't have to be real intelligent in this day and age. You just have to learn to lock in on what needs to be done and get it done. Most people can't. I got to move on. I'll hurry. There's a thing I call others thinking. Psalm 40, verse 5, it says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order." God is a perfect example of one who thinks of others. Hey, within your successful thinking, and if you want to become a true good thinker like I'm trying to teach today, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to learn to think of others. You can't get so caught up in the success of everything that you trash everybody and everything along the way. I know people that do that. This others thinking, it's basic Christian thinking, it's unselfish thinking. Many want to improve their thinking for themselves. You ought to improve your thinking for God. You ought to improve your thinking for your wife. You ought to improve your thinking for your husband. You ought to improve your thinking for your parents. You ought to improve your thinking for your children. Hey, Sunday school teacher, you ought to improve your thinking for your Sunday school class. Hey, bus captain, improve your thinking for the sake of your bus route. Hey, pastor, improve your thinking. Not so you're smart. Not so people look at you and they say, "I think you're an intellectual genius." How about you improve your thinking because you care about other people and God gave you a mind and He didn't give it to you to worship and He didn't give it to you to develop so other people would worship you. He gave it to you so you could do something to help somebody. Hey, some of you that have lazy minds and you won't do anything with your mind, you're self-centered and the only person you care about is you. You would pick up your Bible and read and you would study and develop your mind if you cared about somebody other than yourself because people need somebody to think and help them in life. I want my mind to be developed so I can love you the way I'm to love you and serve you the way I can serve you and make things available at your church that's good for you and your family. And it takes some organizational thinking. It takes some concentration. It takes some effort to do that. Hey, others thinking. Others thinking is only accomplished if you walk in the Spirit. Others thinking includes ethics. Giving is a big part of the Christian life. Helping others to succeed makes you a winner twice. Learning to put others in your plan is just the right thing. Others thinking makes you a part of a plan that is bigger than yourself. Others being a part of your plan helps you to be able to live with yourself. Other thinkers sleep better at night. Others, thinkers, add value to the people around you. And I believe this, leaving a spiritual legacy requires others thinking. There's another part of my thinking, and this is what the man handed me back from a conversation that I had with him. He said, you mentioned the words cause. I'm cause-oriented. 1 Samuel 17:29, David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" God's cause in my life, that's kind of my purpose. I would love to get you all to see this. You've got to think about the big picture, not just your picture. Sometimes you can't get people to see the big picture. We're so self-centered. All they see is their picture, the little picture.
See, folks, there's always a big picture, and you're only a little part of it. You know, there's always a chain reaction to every decision, and cause thinkers examine the chain reaction. When you make a decision, here's what you do. Immediately, most people say, I want to figure out how that's going to affect me. And most of you stop there. If it's good for you, you're going to do it. If it's not good for you, you're not going to do it, because that's all you care about is you. Because you, sincerely, are in the center of your bullseye. But wait a minute. If God's in the center of your bullseye and others are in the center of your bullseye, maybe it'd be a good idea if when you make a decision, you not only think about what you get out of it, but what will it do to your wife and to your kids and to your church and to your friends and to the lost. Is it a good decision or a bad decision? What is the fallout? You ask anybody that knows me, I'm always looking for the chain reaction to the chain reaction to the chain reaction. I'm not just trying to keep me safe. I got to worry about you and you and you and you and then your children. And by the way, some of your grandchildren. There's some of the things that we do around here that we're helping a generation that's not even on the scene yet. Why? It's a chain reaction. And cause thinking is that way. Cause thinking requires listening. Cause thinkers are about the big picture and doing the little things that make it successful. Cause thinkers are constantly, by the way, cause thinkers are team thinkers. See, cause thinkers are not just concerned about themselves. They're part of the team of God's spiritual energy. Cause thinkers want the team to succeed more than they want their own success. I've got to go on. Creative thinking. This is the last one I'll give you today. Creative thinking. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds." I think we need our minds stirred. Creative thinking, it's idea thinking. Creative thinking is the process of development. Creative thinking is concentrating on options that put color and flavor and excitement. Boy, is God a creative thinker. I just came back from Alaska. I could not tell you how beautiful the area was. And I'm thinking, my dad created all that. I'd like to be a chip off the old block. Do you know, within the realm of purity, there is some wonderful creative thinking? I'll be honest with you. The reason why some of your Sunday school classes won't grow, your families won't succeed like they could, your ministry won't be what it could be, and your business will just be minimal, it is because you are boring. You're boring. God's not boring. God's creative. God knows how to add color. God knows how to add the smell. God knows how to add the taste. Did God have to make our food taste good? No. Did it have to look good? No. Did it need any of that? Did it have to feel good in our mouth? No. But what did he say? I think you'll enjoy this, and I think you'll get attached to it because I'm going to be creative in what I do. Now, I understand, I don't think we ought to ever use a creativity that is wrong or sinful, but good night in the morning, God gave you a brain, use it. The devil's crowd does, don't they? Creation is exciting. Some people maintain too much and create too little. Creativity can be developed in the life. Creativity is thinking that includes faith thinking. Creative thinkers are people that look for solutions, not just notice the problems. Creative thinkers take advantage of ideas and develop them into excellent ideas. Creative thinking is, I think it's a bit contagious. You ever get around somebody that's a creative thinker and you walk away saying, wow, that's fantastic. What a good idea. Some people are creativity killers. Negative. I think you take in a church or in a ministry on a bus route in a Sunday school class. I think in a family. I think with meals. How much thought do you put into your meals? Is the most thought you put into it is how many minutes in the microwave? I can tell you this. Somebody was creative enough to make the package attractive that you wanted to buy it off the shelf. You made them rich. They were creative in the meal that they helped you to fix. But you know, there is some creativity in a meal make a difference. The colors, the flavors. Creativity helps with a meal. Creativity helps in your child rearing. I think you ought to have your kids read the Bible. I think your kids ought to memorize Scripture. I think your kids ought to obey. The average parent today uses no creativity in getting close to their kids. There are all sorts of good, decent, fun, happy, colorful ways to get close to your children. But we don't work at that. You know who you like to hear preach? Somebody that has some creativity. Somebody that's saying something, you're not saying, I heard all this before. You'd like someone to dazzle your mind just a little bit. Cause you to walk away saying, my brain's on overflow. You like that. We all like that. I've heard some great preachers. And they were not boring and drab. They knew how to keep the attention of the people. There was a creativity involved. Man, when we get to heaven, folks, we are going to be in awe. You're going to walk around heaven like this. Why? God is so creative. And I think it's a part of thinking that can be developed. I just go back to Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. A young preacher said to me, can you tell me how you think? Not what you think. Caught me off guard. So I rambled. The key words that I just gave back to you, he handed me. He said, this is what you just said. He said, I want to learn to think like that. And I believe what I just gave you, I would expect if you went out and you studied the people that succeed big in this life, this is the kind of thinking that got them there. And it's all from the greatest mind in the universe, God. If we will think like God, we'll achieve.